Welcome to Base by Base, the Peeper cast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So today, we're doing a deep dive into what's got to be one of the most frustrating clinical puzzles on oncology. It's about finding the starting point, the origin, of a cancer when, well, all you can see is where it ended up. Yeah, imagine this. A patient comes in, and they find a neuroendocrine neoplasm, an NEN, but it's only in the liver. Now, historically, for something like 11 to 22% of these NEN patients, doctors just never find where that primary tumor actually began, despite, you know, tons of scans and tests. So often the diagnosis kind of defaults to something like primary hepatic NEN. That's even popped up in the official WHO classification recently. But here's the problem. Treating these tumors really, really depends on knowing where they came from. You know, a lung NEN needs a different approach than a pancreatic NEN. So what do you do when that starting point is just invisible? What if we could use modern molecular tools, specifically epigenetics, almost like a genetic GPS?
Could that give us the precise anatomical coordinates for these really tricky metastatic tumors? That's what this deep dive is all about. We're looking at research that really asks the fundamental question, is primary hepatic NEN even a real biological thing?
It's fascinating work, and it's so critical because, like you said, if you don't know the origin, treatment becomes very generalized, often suboptimal. You simply can't treat effectively if you can't trace the source. And before we jump in, we should really take a moment to recognize the team behind this. It was a huge collaborative effort.
Absolutely.
Institutions like Heidelberg University, the Luxembourg Institute of Health, Bojan University Hospital, they all came together. This team has seriously pushed forward our understanding of how to subtype these NENs using some pretty advanced molecular methods on a really challenging group of patient samples.
Okay, so let's set the scene a bit more. NENs, where do they come from?
They arise from these diffuse neuroendocrine networks in the body, most commonly. You find them starting in the gastrointestinal tract or the lungs.
And it's worth noting, the number of people diagnosed with NENs has really shot up. I saw a stat about a 6.4-fold increase between, 1973 and 2012. That's pretty dramatic.
It is. And that rising number just makes getting the diagnosis right even more urgent. How you manage an NEN depends heavily on its origin site. You know, we often categorize them based on where they developed embryologically, foregut, midgut, hindgut.
Right.
And treatments vary hugely. For instance, some aggressive high-grade NNNs, like certain neuroendocrine carcinomas or NECs from the lung, they often need immunotherapy added to the chemo.
Which you wouldn't just give for any NEN.
Exactly. You wouldn't use that same heavy-hitting protocol for, say, a low-grade pancreatic NNN. So finding that true primary site is just paramount for picking the right treatment.
Which brings us back to the liver problem. If you find an NNN there, is it really a primary hepatic NNN starting in the liver? Or is it just a metastasis from, I don't know, a tiny spot in the pancreas or lung that you just can't see?
That's the exact ambiguity this study tackles head on. It's not just about getting the classification right on paper. It's about getting the therapy right, because the response rates really do differ based on the primary site. Right now, if it's labeled primary hepatic NN, it often gets managed like it's a typical GI primary. But as we're about to see, that could be completely off track if the tumor actually started somewhere else, like the lung.
Okay, let's get into the methodology. How do they build this sort of molecular map? They must have needed a lot of samples.
Oh, yeah. A monumental collection, really. They analyzed 212 NEN tissues in total. These came from two separate groups or cohorts, a discovery set from Heidelberg and then a validation set from Bojan.
Right, testing it twice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And crucially, within that, they had 44 samples specifically found in the liver. Half of those, 22, were these presumed primary hepatic NENs, the mystery cases. The other 22 were known liver metastases, where the original primary site was known.
And they had controls too.
Yes, very important. They included known primary liver cancers like hepatocellular carcinoma, HCC, and cholangiocarcinoma, CCA, just to make sure the NEN signatures looked different from actual liver cancers.
Okay, and the core tech they used for reading that cellular identity, that fingerprint?
Yeah, DNA methylation profiling. That was the key. Think of these methylation patterns as unique epigenetic fingerprints for each cell type. A pancreatic cell has a different methylation pattern than a lung cell.
And that pattern sticks, even if the cancer spreads?
Generally, yes. That signature is usually quite stable and gets retained even when the cancer metastasizes to other organs. That's the principle they're leveraging.
So they have this huge amount of fingerprint data, millions of nesylation points. How do you turn that into a single accurate location, like a GPS coordinate for the tumor?
Right. That's where the clever analysis comes in. They didn't just look at raw data. They used some sophisticated machine learning techniques. First, they used a method to kind of distill all that complex methylation data down into its core components, just 10 key epigenetic profiles. They call these latent methylation components, or LMCs.
Okay, simplifying the signal.
Exactly. Then they trained a powerful type of machine learning algorithm called a random forest classifier using these 10 LMC profiles. This algorithm was specifically designed to learn the patterns and predict the anatomical origin based on that methylation signature.
And how accurate was it?
Stunningly accurate, actually. For several of the known NNM types, like those from the ileum or pulmonary carcinoids, the prediction accuracy, measured as AUC, was up to 0.99, almost perfect.
Wow. That's a seriously good molecular GPS. But I remember reading they didn't just rely on that, did they? They cross-checked it somehow.
Precisely. They were very thorough. They used the methylation profile, the epigenetic GPS, as the main guide, but then they verified that location by looking at the tumor's large-scale genetic blueprint specifically, the copy number alterations, or CNAs.
Like looking at big chunks of chromosome changes.
Exactly. By showing that the CNA profile of a mystery liver tumor matched the typical CNA profile of tumors from its predicted origin site, say the pancreas, they essentially double-checked the GPS reading with a completely independent system. It really strengthens the findings.
Okay, so let's talk results. First, the basics. What did the methylation profiles show for the NENs where they already knew the origin? Did the GPS work for those?
Yes, perfectly. It confirmed two really critical things. First, NEN methylation patterns are definitely organ site specific. Lung tumors clustered together, separate from appendix tumors, separate from ileal tumors, distinct signatures.
Right.
Second, they showed the signature is stable. They looked at 12 pairs of samples where they had both the primary NEN and its liver metastasis from the same patient. In 10 out of those 12 pairs, the primary and the metastasis clustered right next to each other.
Ah, so the fingerprint doesn't really change much when it spreads.
Exactly. It confirms that the original cellular identity, that methylation signature, is largely conserved during metastasis. The GPS signal holds up.
Okay, now for the main event. Those 22 mystery cases, the hepatic NENs without a known primary. When they looked at their methylation fingerprints, did they form their own unique liver cluster?
No, not at all. That's the central discovery. These presumed primary hepatic NENs completely failed to form any distinct separate cluster that would suggest a unique liver origin.
So where do they end up on the map?
They were scattered. They overlapped entirely with the clusters formed by NENs known to originate from outside the liver, the extrahepatic sites. And importantly, their signatures looked completely different from the actual primary liver cancers, the HCCs and CCAs.
So the methylation pattern just screamed, not from the liver.
Mm-hmm.
What happened when they fed these 22 mystery cases into that super accurate machine learning classifier?
The algorithm predicted an extrahepatic origin, so not the liver for every single one of those 22 cases in the main discovery group. Every single one.
Wow. And did it give specific predicted origins?
It did, and the breakdown is really informative. For those 22 cases, 8 were predicted to be pulmonary NECs, neuroendocrine carcinomas from the lung. 5 were predicted as pancreatic NENs. Another 5 were predicted as colorectal NENs. 2 looked like ileal NENs from the small intestine. And the remaining 2 pointed towards gastric or duodenal NENs, stomach upper small intestine.
That's incredibly specific molecular tracing. Looking at that list, lung, pancreas, colorectum, small bowel, is there a biological theme connecting those predicted origins?
There absolutely is. If you look at the majority of the lung NECs, the pancreatic NENs, the gastric duodenal, even the ileal NENs, to some extent, they mostly share what developmental biologists call a foregut embryological origin. So it suggests there might be a common sort of foregut-like methylation pattern underlying most of these NENs that end up presenting in the liver without an obvious primary. It gives a biological reason for why they might cluster epigenetically, even if their final anatomical spot is different.
And these are pretty big claims challenging the whole idea of a primary liver NEN. Do they manage to confirm this?
Yes, they did. They used that independent set of samples from the Bojong cohort as validation. And they saw the same thing. The presumed hepatic NENs in that cohort also failed to form a liver-specific cluster and mixed in with the extrahepatic types. That consistency across cohorts really strengthens the conclusion.
Very solid.
And one other interesting side point, they also noted that the tumor's proliferation rate, you know, how fast the cells are dividing, measured by something called Ki-67, that also influenced the clustering. The highly aggressive, fast-growing tumors tended to separate out from the slower-growing ones.
So the analysis gives you origin and potentially some prognostic info, too.
Exactly. It's capturing multiple layers of the tumor's biology.
Okay, so let's unpack the implications. If the molecular evidence is this clear, what does it mean for that WHO classification that actually includes primary hepatic NN as a category?
Well, it poses a significant challenge. The complete absence of a distinct liver-specific methylation signature strongly suggests that a very large proportion, maybe even most of these cases diagnosed as primary hepatic NNN, are actually misclassified metastases.
Where the original primary was just too small to find.
Yeah.
Or maybe it disappeared.
Exactly. It could have been tiny, hidden away anatomically, or perhaps it even regressed after metastasizing. We sometimes see that in other cancers like melanoma. The molecular data here is pretty overwhelming evidence that we should probably stop defaulting to a liver primary diagnosis just because we can't find another source immediately.
And the therapeutic impact of that shift is huge, right?
Yeah.
If you can use this molecular GPS to say with high confidence, this tumor in the liver actually behaves like a lung NEC, what does that mean for the patient's treatment plan?
It changes everything, because now you can actually apply site-specific therapy, which we know is more effective. Since the molecular profiles, the methylation and those CNA patterns we talked about of these mystery liver NENs match the profiles of known extrahepatic NENs, well, it validates using the treatment regimens designed for the predicted origin.
So for that case, predicted as pulmonary NES.
You'd immediately consider adding immunotherapy to the chemotherapy regimen. That's standard for many pulmonary NESNs, but you'd likely never consider it based on a vague hepatic NEN diagnosis. This allows for much more personalized, targeted treatment based on the tumor's true biological identity.
That's a major step forward. Now, we should probably mention the limitation they pointed out regarding distinguishing some neighbors in the gut.
Yes, that's fair. While the classifier was great overall, it did sometimes have a bit more trouble confidently separating tumors from very close anatomical neighbors in the GI tract specifically, distinguishing gastric or duodenal NENs from colorectal NENs. The prediction score sometimes overlapped a bit there.
Suggesting.
It just indicates that for those really fine-grained distinctions within the digestive system, they probably need even larger reference cohorts to train the algorithm further and really sharpen its ability to tell those closely related sites apart with absolute certainty.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's distill this down. What's the core take-home message from this deep dive?
I'd say it's that DNA methylation profiling is an incredibly powerful and precise tool. It offers a robust way to trace the origin of neuroendocrine neoplasms. It achieves really impressive accuracy for most sites, and it seriously challenges some of our current clinical classifications.
And practically speaking, if you find a neuroendocrine tumor just sitting in the liver, and you can't find a primary source anywhere else.
The molecular evidence presented here overwhelmingly suggests you should assume it's a metastasis, likely from an extrahepatic source, probably with that foregut-like signature we discussed, rather than defaulting to calling it a primary liver tumor.
This research really gives us the molecular tools to track these NENs back to their source, even if that source is practically invisible clinically. Which leads to a big question, doesn't it? Given how much this impacts prognosis and treatment choices, how quickly should this kind of DNA methylation analysis become, well, standard practice in the diagnostic workup whenever we encounter an NEN of unknown primary? This episode was based on an open-access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.